Do you sense that here tonight? Amen. I want Sister Kim to come and let's just lift our hands and let's let the Lord talk to our hearts here tonight.
Praise God.
Glad to be back here at Shadeville Church. And I appreciate the Lord and the Holy Ghost, the move of the Spirit. And, you know, as Brother Lloyd was talking about these lost souls that need to be saved, I was thinking how we need to be together. We need to fight as an army together. And I was thinking, standing back there, you know, the devil has used the same weapon. And he's stood back and laughed because it has worked. The weapon of division. He threw it in the church.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, Lord, see these wicked people rising up together as one and trying to get laws formed and trying to get things done. And I said, God, help your church to get together. The devil, he wants it to be divided. But he knows that when we're together, when we're working as an army, there is power together. If we can get together and say, Lord, save my brothers, save my sisters, lost loved ones, save my mother, save my friends. If we can pray for each other and work together. Oh, that's been on my heart. God, help us. Help your church, this mighty church, to get together and work for you, Lord. I appreciate God's people. And I thank the Lord for how he brought us here and met you all wonderful folks. I remember when Brother Greg and Sister Michelle came and they helped us come and meet y'all. And wonderful church here. I appreciate it. I sure do. Let's get together this week and storm heaven and ask God to save. Not just my family. I don't have family here. I'm going to be praying for your family.
Right.
You look at somebody and think they've got somebody lost. Start praying for them. Let's pray for each other. We need each other. We're going to heaven together. I appreciate the Lord. Tell me who but God can do such things as these. Who but God can do such things as these? He can calm the troubled water when he speaks the demons flee. Who but God can do such things as these? He can walk through God and cloud his fingerprints around the sun. Stars say on nothing, all the miracles he's done. His breath becomes a wind, just to blow it in the trees. Who but God can do such things as these? Tell me who the God can do such things.
Tell me who the God can do such things.
Who the God
can do such things. When he speaks to the demons free. Who the God can do such things as these.
Tell me who the God can do such things as these.
Who the God, who the God.
Who the God can do such things as these.
Who the God.
All the trouble.
Demons free.
Who but God can do such things as these? He can take your life so wretched when the world says there's no hope. From the drunkard to quit drinking, shut it out his faith from gold. He can make something from nothing, cause he did just stuff for me.
Tell me who but God can do such things as these?
Tell me who but God can do such things as these?
Who but God, who but God.
Who the God can do such things as these? Take your eyes so wretched when the world says there's no hope. Does a drunkard take what's drinking? Set it out and
free from those.
He can make something from nothing,
cause he did it just for me.
Who is God can do such things as me?
Take a life so wretched when the world says there's no hope, cause a drunk or two quit drinking. Set it on his feet for himself.
He can't make something from nothing, cause he did just that for me. Who but God can do such things as me?
Oh, tell me, who but God can do such things as me?
Who but God, who but God?
Who but God can do such things as me?
Things
he can calm the troubled water
when he speaks to demons flee.
Who that God can do such things as these? Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and thank God he's able. Well, I'm glad God's able. How about you tonight?
Oh, yes.
Brother Bailey, I felt like was just right in the will of God, telling us what he told us. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost has just got it all in control here? And I want to be part of that army that is led by the Holy Ghost. I felt the Holy Ghost while we were just rejoicing. You can be turning to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews tonight. I felt the Holy Ghost while we were just kind of rejoicing there and feeling the weight of what he said, the challenge of what he said, and I don't know, feeling our faith rise a little bit. You ever feel like your faith just needs to get up to a higher plateau? I don't know how you pray. Sometimes I don't want nobody around me when I'm praying. Hello? Because I don't want anybody to hear what I feel like I need to say. Except God. See, I like to get right down to where the rubber hits the road, Brother Nichols. Come on now here. And there's some things, you know, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to make nobody feel bad, but I don't really trust nobody else to hear but God. Huh? I try to open up everything and just be completely open. You ever had God show you some things about yourself and it surprised you? Huh? You let the Lord search your heart and he'll do that. He'll do that. Can I hear an amen? But sometimes when I'm praying, especially when I'm trying to get the mind of God on what to preach, many times I've found myself doing it here lately. I don't know, my thoughts sometimes will wander. And the Bible talks about girding up the loins of your mind, tying up all those loose ends. And many times I've just prayed a simple prayer like this. Lord, help me to get from right here to up here somewhere. My thoughts and my mind are down here, and I don't need to be there. I need to be on a higher level. Huh? I don't want to just preach from memory. Boy, I've heard some preachers do that, and they had a powerful mind, and they could say some great things. I don't want to do that. I want to preach from the power of the Holy Ghost. I felt like Brother Bailey was talking to us tonight through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you the scripture that was really rolling through my heart and mind as our faith was rising to catch a hold of the challenge he was giving us. And that's what Jesus said. He said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Oh, hallelujah.
See, they'd got all upset about him healing a man on the Sabbath day. And, well, now you just don't do it. It's a Sabbath day and you're healing on the Sabbath. And they just really got in a big frustration. And Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto. And as long as he's working, I'm going to work what he's working. Amen. And I just felt the Lord just kind of give me that. Amen. And I felt like sharing it with you. Hey, I believe that was God working. And I believe we need to work with it. Can I get a witness on that here tonight? Praise God. Boy, it's good to see Brother Silvers walk in. I understand they had a little technical difficulty, somebody said, but we're glad they got up and rolling. Glad to see the pastor coming in here. I'm always real nervous when the pastor ain't here and I got to preach. Amen. But I got the feeling the Lord and I was feeling a little better. But I'm glad he came in here at the 11th hour and he was out helping Brother Silvers, amen. Don't you appreciate a man like that, that'll help you when you need help? I appreciate your pastor, Brother Nichols, and all these preachers here tonight. Well, first night of camp meeting, what do you preach? What do you say? Where do you start? Huh? I mean, you know, this thing gets really going, you know. Well, I don't know if it's easy to jump on a train that's going or not, amen, but it sure looks a whole lot more enticing to jump on one that's already going. But how do we get this thing cranked up here? Well, I feel like it's already cranked up. Oh, will you go with me tonight? I felt the Lord just dealing with me about this passage of Scripture. Father, I thank you tonight for your Word. I thank you for your people. God, you know every person that's in this building here tonight. Whether saint or sinner, God, whatever their life might be, you know every one of them, Lord. And somehow, some way, God, you're able to reach down and minister to us all. I'm asking you to do that, Lord, for your glory. Give me an unction. Help me to say just what you'd have me to. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Look here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 12. Hebrews. Real popular chapter. A lot of times in Paul's writings, he gets real doctrinal. You remember what Peter said? He said that he wrote some things that were kind of hard to understand. Well, I don't feel too bad, Brother Greg Francis, when I read through this New Testament and have a difficult time sometimes getting a hold of some of it. Because Peter said, I got a hard time understanding some of the things Paul says. Generally, when he writes a book, God inspired him to do it. He just didn't do it on his own. But generally, the method that God used Paul was to establish doctrine. And then after he would take and establish the doctrinal part, somewhere towards the end of that book or the middle of that book, he would get practical. Boy, I like practical preaching, don't you? Now, we got to have some doctrinal preaching. We got to have some doctrinal teaching. That lays the foundation. But, you know, when we get the foundation laid, we need the formation built. And I like it when it gets right down to where you can get a hand's hold of it. And that's what he does here in the 12th chapter. That's probably why we so often refer to this chapter. That's probably why there's so many verses out of this chapter that you know, are so familiar to us. Look at the first one. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's practical religion, isn't it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to tell you something here tonight, brothers and sisters. It's not hard to live for God. Come on now. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's the easiest thing in the world to do. There's trials. There's difficulties. There's a devil that comes against you. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The way of transgressors is hard. Huh? Any way you go, any way you try to live, there's going to be some resistance. I believe I'd rather have God on my side than to have Him against me. Of course, the 14th verse, amen, we homeless folks generally end up here about every time we go this chapter. So I don't want to mess up a good thing here tonight. At least going to read this one, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And everybody in God's church said amen. That's right. 15 talks about bitterness, but we're going to back up and grab a couple of verses that are not as familiar, but they kind of lead into those statements here. Verse number 12, look at it with me here. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Oh, God, help us tonight. Whew. Lift up the hands which hang down. I don't know. Maybe you got the hang down hands here tonight. Well, if you do, I got a word for you tonight. God wants to lift your hands up here tonight. Can I get a witness here? Oh, I'm going to try to preach to you if the Lord will help me. Amen. And I know you folks will help me. Amen. Lift it. You ever feel like your hands were just hanging down? Now, this isn't really talking about literally so much. It uses something that we understand here, but it's talking about a spiritual frame of mind. Our hands, our strength is just not where it ought to be. It's just kind of hanging down there. Well, maybe we could get a better grip on this if we take another passage of Scripture, which is, directly the opposite of it. And that comes from the book of Exodus. It's also, reiterated in the book of Numbers. And it talks about where the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And the Bible said that Israel came out of Egypt with a high hand. Hallelujah. Woo! I got to looking at that today and reading what some of the commentators said about that. Amen. They came out with great confidence. They came out with their strength raised up high. Hallelujah. Hey, there's been a few times I felt like, I had the high hand. Can I hear an amen? Have you ever felt like God had lifted? You know, it's not talking about God's hand there, but He's talking about the children of Israel's hand. He had reached down and got a hold of their hand and lifted it up where it ought to be. They were saluting God, no doubt, as they went out. It's a figure of speech here, but it wasn't talking as much literally about the position of their physical hand as it was the position of their spirit as they went out of Egypt. They had spoiled the Egyptians. They had the wealth of Egypt. They had the respect of the greatest, amen, military nation that was there on the earth at that time. They went out as conquerors. They probably didn't have any idea that Pharaoh was soon going to be on their trail down at the Red Sea. They thought this one was over. Oh, hallelujah. Huh? Amen. But that's not what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about hands which hang down. And feeble knees. Oh, God, help me to preach tonight. I guess if I looked at the majority of this congregation tonight and the reaction we were having a while ago, I'd feel like I missed it, but... God don't always preach to the majority. Sometimes He preaches to the minority. Huh? Feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Let me just say a few things here about that word, straight paths. You remember what Jesus said? He said, straight is the gate. S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. Straight. Amen. Is the gate. Or excuse me, I spelled that wrong. That's the way it's spelled here. When Jesus said that, He said S-T-R-A-I-T. Straight is the gate. Amen. There's a difference there. More than just the spelling. What Jesus was talking about, that word straight is the one the Apostle Paul used one time when he said, I'm in a great strait. Whether to stay with you or whether to depart. It's a difficult decision to make. I suppose I'll stay here because it's more necessary for you at this time for me to stay here. But what he meant by straight was it's a difficult thing. Jesus said, straight is the gate, or difficult is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be which find it. going to tell you something tonight, brothers and sisters. You can't get saved just any way you want to get saved. There are some requirements. The Bible talks about obeying the gospel. Amen. We got a lot of easy believism preached these days where you just repeat a prayer after me and you know, you just make a profession of faith and get baptized and I'm all for those things. But the thing that's left out is that you must turn away from your sin. You must repent of your sin. You can't come bringing sin into this narrow way. It's a straight gate. You've got to lay it aside. Come on here and help me preach a little while tonight. Amen. There's some requirements. Come on now. Huh? Jesus looked at a rich young ruler who said, all the commandments I've kept from my youth up. And he said, yet one thing thou lackest. Go and sell thy goods and give to the poor and come follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. Boy, Jesus had a way of getting right down to where we was living, didn't he? I mean, he was very tactful, but he never sidestepped the issue, Brother Bailey. That was Jesus' way of saying, thou shalt not covet. You going to help me preach tonight? Huh? Kind of like when he met that woman, you know, at the well there, and he started talking to her, and most folks wouldn't even talk to her, but Jesus was concerned about her, and he talked to her, and some folks think, you know, that Jesus was too soft. He wasn't too soft. He never sidestepped the issue. He always dealt with it. He knew how to deal with it. Can I hear an amen? He looked at her, and he said, go get your husband. Well, I don't have one. Oh, God, help me here tonight. That wasn't news to Jesus. Huh? No news to him. You spoke that right. He said, you've had five, and the one you've got right now is not your husband. Can I hear an amen? He touched her right where she was living. She was living with a man. Amen. A tactful way. But he didn't sidestep the issue. Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Can I hear a witness here tonight? Hey, it's a straight day. You've got to lay your sins aside if you're going to walk this heavenly way. Straight. Oh, we need some straight preaching. S-T-R-A-I-T. We need some straight preaching in this hour. Come on now. We need to tell folks what sin is. I know I'm in a homeless church. I know that's what's done here. That's why it's a homeless church. But I'm going somewhere. If you'll just hang with me for just a little while. Amen. But look at what verse 13 says. It says, make straight paths. Now I want you to know something here. This is a different kind of straight. S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. Oh, hallelujah. You know what kind of straight this is? This is a straighten that path out. This is make it an even path. Oh, hallelujah. This is fill in the valleys and pull down the mountains and straighten out the curves. Come on here just a little while here. Make straight path. You know, I don't want to preach it too easy, but brothers and sisters on the other side of the hand, I don't want to preach anything that's not in there either. We need to make a straight path. We need to preach it, amen, in such a fashion that we remove all of the obstacles for anybody that would want to come this way. I get a witness here tonight, amen. We need to make it an even shot. We need to preach a straight path. We need to make an even path so that which is lame would not be turned out of the way. I'm interested in getting everybody to heaven that I can. How about you? Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, God, lift your hands right now and ask God to help me here. Huh? Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. You know, Brother Nichols, if my position is lined up with the Bible, and you can't accept a position that's lined up with the Bible, there's not a lot I can do about that. But you know, you can have a position that's lined up with the Bible and have a disposition that's not lined up with the Bible. And you're putting a stumbling block in somebody's way. Oh, come on here. Now, I know there's some things in their lives that we need to straighten out, but God help us here. There's some things in the ministry of the church that we need to make sure is straightened out too. Can I hear an amen? Hey, make straight paths. Amen. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. We don't want them to turn aside. Amen. When they start coming in here, as Brother Bailey's done warmed and encouraged our hearts. Amen. Amen. To believe God. For our lost loved ones to come in here and feel conviction. We want to let them know, yeah, it's a straight gate, but it's also a straight gate. You can walk in. You got to turn away from your sins, but you can do it. There's a church that'll help you. There's a God that'll help you. There's a Holy Ghost that will help you. I don't want to turn them away. Amen. I want to pull them on in. Somebody say hallelujah.
Come on, Brother Eddie Bolden said, I probably never would have got saved if Brother Claude Ely hadn't come back to me and put his arm around me. And literally almost pulled me. And dragged me. Not in a hateful manner. Huh? But you know what he was doing? He was removing all the obstacles out of the way. Making a straight path. Come on, you know you want it. Come on, you know you want to get saved. Oh, hallelujah. I was preaching up in Pennsylvania about a month ago, and this woman came to church just about every night of the revival. Her husband was saved. I don't know if she'd never been saved or if she was a backslider, but she was bound by some sinful habits and she didn't profess, amen, to have any relationship with God. I talked to her one night in a gentle manner and she was nice, but she wasn't willing, amen, to get her heart right with God. Someone told me later that she was bound to cigarettes and you know, she wanted God to help her with that, but here she'd come to church with her husband, but she hadn't given her heart to God. And one night the Holy Ghost got to moving. And God got to clearing the path and making a path for her to come home. I remember my wife sitting over on the piano, waving to her like this. Come on, come on. I walked back to her again. I didn't even have to talk to her. All I had to say is, come on, sis, let's go pray. And here she came. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to make a straight path for sinners to get saved.
I don't want to turn them aside. No. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let me preach to you tonight. Let me preach to you tonight. Oh, let it be healed. Oh, if you believe in divine healing, wave your hand towards heaven tonight. Well, we had a short wave there. Amen. Took a little while to get here, Brother Jerry. You know what I believe God wants to do in this meeting? I believe He wants to heal some things. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I guess I might as well begin with the obvious. When we think of the word healing, the first thing that comes to our mind generally is divine healing for the body.
You know what? I am so glad that that's a part of this gospel I'm preaching here. I know the charismatics have preached a lot of stuff, and they've taken a lot of the terms that we Pentecostal people used to use and have perverted some doctrines, and I know they do some crazy things, and we want to make sure there's a distinction between us and them, but brother, people can tell that distinction when they see us 100 yards away. Can I hear an amen? The glitter on us is not the glitter of gold, but it's the glitter of the glory of God. Somebody say hallelujah. He beautifies the meek with salvation, and there's a difference between holiness people and these worldly people that say they've got the power of God. I'm going to tell you what, the real power of God and the real Holy Ghost will always produce a life of holiness. But God is a healer. I preached a meeting back in September of last year. We weren't even scheduled to be there. I was supposed to be down in Hazard, Kentucky. And at the last minute, Brother Boland down there, they had an elderly man who was very prominent in the church that was at the point of death. He was in the family there. And so he called me, and just to make a long story short, he thought it best that we postpone the meeting for a little while. Well, I thought it was best too. And at the same time, Brother Kevin Mayberry over in the Dayton area had a cancellation, and he was wanting revival. So he called me, and it just seemed like the hand of God orchestrated for us not to go south, but for us to come north. And before I had it all figured out, we was pulling in, setting a trailer up in Dayton, Ohio, and beginning a revival. And when we got there, revival was already in progress. Oh, hallelujah. One night the Holy Ghost got to moving Brother Nichols, and the drum player got up off the drums. Amen. I never touched the pulpit that night. He got up off the drums except just to get up there maybe and say, hallelujah, let's go on. Amen. I didn't preach that night. He got up off the drums, marched down to the altar, threw his hands up in the air, and came out of there speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance for the very first time in his life. God sealed him with the Holy Ghost. I thank God that He's still sending revival to the church tonight. Oh, he was all tore up. Brother Brian, I forget his last name, but he got to testify. It may have been that night or another night. And when he did, I saw one of the several reasons that church was tore all to pieces. He got to tell him about his six-week-old baby. It was 6 weeks old at the time that it happened. How they had taken it to the doctor, and it was its extremities, its hands and its feet were kind of bluish, and obviously the circulation wasn't right. And I'm no doctor. I may not remember all of the symptoms, verbatim there, but I remember something about the extremities being blue and the circulation wasn't good. And of course, upon examination, they found out that the baby had a hole in its heart. Immediately scheduled it for a surgery. Well, on the day that the surgery was scheduled, he being a young father and family man, wasn't able to get off work at such a short notice. Probably had used up a lot of his time, for the birth of the baby and the days that preceded that. And he wasn't able to get off work. And so his wife takes the baby to the hospital. And at the time when the baby is supposed to go in, he finds him a closet. Amen. There at work and takes his break and makes him a little altar in the closet and sets up the prayer meeting. You can do that, Hallelujah. I know God got the Holy Ghost at work. Hallelujah. On an assembly line. You get down to business and God will meet you wherever you're at. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Well, while he's praying and the mom is taking the baby in, the doctor decides we're going to do another x-ray on this baby. We're going to double check this thing before we take it in for surgery. He comes out after a while and he's scratching his head. I don't understand it, says the doctor. He's got two x-rays in his hands. Oh, hallelujah.
the original one, and today's X-ray. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I just don't understand it. This is what we saw, so many days ago. Right here is the hole. He said, but this is what we're seeing today, and there's no hole there. Ha! No surgery today. And he said, for more, went on to say, Brother Jerry, these words. He said, this baby probably will never have to see a heart doctor in all of its life. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight, brothers and sisters. God, when He does a word, He does it all the way. He's a healer. How many's ever seen God work a miracle physically? Your own life. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised in a congregation. As fervent as this one is, as faithful as this one is, as prayerful as this one is. Oh, I need to preach to you tonight. I'm trying my best. Will you pray for me? But healing goes beyond the body. See, there is a disease likened unto leprosy, but a whole lot more deadly. That 6,000 years ago infected the human race, called sin. You know, we hear the word cancer and it strikes our heart with terror. Come on now. Oh, God, help me. You know, we live, homeless people here and church people, we live moral lives. We're not addicts. We're not immoral. We don't think much about a disease called AIDS. You know, we know it's out there, and people that live, wicked lives are more susceptible to such a disease as that. I'm sure that a few folks have got it through blood transfusions or some innocent way. Amen. But when we hear a disease like that, there's something about it. Amen. Like in the Bible days, we don't hear much about leprosy. It's pretty much annihilated, at least in this country, because of sanitary things. Amen. But when we hear words, amen, of a disease like that is incurable, it strikes a terror in our heart. But I tell you what needs to strike more of a terror in our heart than the word cancer is this word called sin. You can die sick and join a company of some godly people, and even though you go from a sick bed, you can go gloriously from a sick bed, like a prophet named Elisha, to an eternal home. Oh God, help me to preach tonight. But sin, oh God, you know what we need? We need a healing from sin. I know I'm preaching mostly to the church here tonight, and I'm going somewhere. If you'll stick with me for just a little while tonight. Oh God. Isaiah said, come down. Let us reason together. Though your sins, that's my record, be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Somebody say hallelujah. Aren't you glad that your record has been cleansed? Oh, hallelujah. Huh? Oh, glory to God. They told a story of an old doctor. He was a Christian doctor. And many times when a poor family couldn't pay their bill, he would write beside it, forgiven, canceled, a godly man. He wasn't a minister, but he was a doctor, and he tried to help folks that were suffering. Don't you appreciate someone that cares for people that are suffering? Amen. And when he died, there was a great number of people that came to his funeral there, and the preacher got up at the funeral and said, let me just be a little fancy here today. And he began to kind of tell a story. It really wasn't what had happened, but just to kind of eulogize this man, he said, when our beloved physician died a number of days ago, he said, the angels of God came down to carry him up to heaven. And he looked at that holy, amen, emissary that God sent down to escort him home. And he said, where are we going? Amen. And the angel said, we're going to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Well, isn't that what the angels did? Amen. To Lazarus, they carried him to Abraham's bosom. He, being a humble man, amen, said to him, amen, reflecting upon his past life and remembering some of his failures, said to him, but what about my sins? And this is what the angel said. The angel said, God buried them. Aren't you glad God has buried our sins? Hey, hallelujah. But still, amen, a little worried, evidently because of his nature. He looked at the angel and he said this, but where did he bury them? And the angel said, he forgot. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad God buried my sins under the blood and forgot. Wash my record. Hallelujah. But David said this. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter. It's one thing to clean my record. But if I don't get a cleansing, I'm going to make another record. Oh, come on here. What you need is a healing. You know, you can live above sin. You do not have to sin every day. Huh? Oh, God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe we ever get to the point that it's not possible for us to fall. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. We have fellowship with Him. And His blood cleanses us from all sin. Oh, I wish I could preach to you like I need to on the first night of this camp meeting here tonight. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. You don't have to sin every day. There is a fountain. There is a cleansing. There is a healing. I know I still got a human nature, but when I was born again, brothers and sisters, I became partaker of a divine nature. God effected a healing in me. And as long as I walk after the Spirit, amen, I don't have to walk after the flesh. I don't have to live in sin. I can live a life that is above the law and that pleases God.
We got people today, and I know it's not preached from this pulpit, but we got pulpits today telling people that even though they're Christians, they have to sin every day. I'm going to tell you something. That's just plumb ridiculous. Huh? Oh, God, help me. That's like the blind man who's still blind saying, I can see. Huh? That's like the guy who's still coughing saying, I'm healed. Oh, God, help me here. Oh, come on now. Huh? Now, let's just tell it like it is. If we're healed, we're healed. And if we're not, we're not. And we need to get a healing. Well, if we're saved, we're saved.
continue in sin? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're continuing in sin, you need a healing! You need a healing! You've got a sick soul condition, and you need another trip to the altar! You need a cleansing from Jesus' blood! Huh? That's right. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Well, what if we stumble? Let me tell you something. There's a difference between stumbling and finding the nearest altar and hating what you did and getting up with a real determination to never do it again. There's a difference between that. If you're stumbling into it once a week and once every 2 or 3 days, you're not stumbling. You're sinning. And you need to repent. Oh, God, help me here. You need a healing. You don't have to live that way. Hey, and God don't want you to live that way. If the Son therefore hath made you free, you shall be free indeed. And if you're still bound by some lustful condition or by some sinful condition, brother, you can't be bound and free at the same time. You know what you need to do tonight? You need to get down to business with God and let Him heal it.
I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that you're healed when you're still sin sick. Oh, God, help me here. Hey, look, Jesus touched a man who was blind. He said, "Do you see anything?" He said, "I see men as trees walking." There are some churches would have patted him on the back and said, well, all right, you're healed. You just have to work that out there. And after a while, you know, you just have to learn to deal with that because you'll never get any better. No, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, "Well, now look, this is better than what it was, but this ain't going to do." Amen. So we're going to touch you again.
Yes, yes.
Some of you need to have a touch here tonight. Oh, I wish I could preach to you like you need to be preached to tonight. Huh? Huh? God heal it. Oh, hallelujah. Tell you something, you die with sin in your life. And there's a quarantine in heaven on sin. No sin can enter in. Hallelujah. You need to let God heal that and set you free before you step into eternity. And get your eyes opened up when it's too late to do anything about it. Well, hallelujah. Lift your hands, ask God to help me tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's where I've been going all night. If you'll give me a few more minutes, and the Lord help me, I'm going to preach to you a little bit here tonight. You know where some of us need healing? Right here in this building. Right here tonight. Shaveville Church of God. I'm not preaching to the church down the road right now. I'm preaching to us. You know what some of us need healing? Right here. Oh, God.
God. Oh, God. We need God to heal our minds.
I was raised with a television in my home. I got down to business with God and got to praying, got a prayer life, and God got to putting His finger on things in my life. Some things that I didn't really know much about, some things I did. I got rid of my television. 20 years of age, I went up to Free Gospel up at Export, and I felt like I needed to do some intense studying before I could go into the ministry. It was a plan of God for my life, but I didn't just do intense studying. I was kind of a loner up there. I spent a lot of time just out in the field. Not really because I was spiritual, because I realized I needed to be spiritual, and I was trying to get where I wanted. Amen. Where God was wanting me to be. Amen. You know what I prayed many times while I was out there? Oh, God, heal my mind. Because for 19 years, Hollywood had pumped hellish ideas into my mind. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you what. We are living in a society where the warfare is not as much physical as it is mental. Oh, God. If we could have our eyes open here tonight into a spiritual realm, probably right here in this building, we could see demons diving down out of principalities above this building into the minds of people and trying to affect their thoughts and ruin and rule their lives by throwing a monkey wrench in their mind. I'm going to tell you what, God wants to touch our minds. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is imperative, if we're going to live for God, that our mindset be right.
Finally, my brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just?
I got a 6-year-old little girl. We've never had television in the home. Since I was 19 years old, I got rid of it. My little girl, she's not growing up with a television. There's been a few times when she's been around different family members. She's probably, no doubt, been exposed to a little bit of it. Amen. But my little girl sometimes, amen. I've known preachers' kids, good godly preachers and good godly children that the devil tries to attack their minds. And she would have these nightmares, 6 years old. And one day I went in, Brother Mike Nichols, and I said, Hannah, you need to learn this verse of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We made it her verse for the month in her school. Amen. Just a kindergarten. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You better be careful what runs through your mind.
As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Come on now, help me preach you out.
Yeah, that's our battle. The weapons of our warfare, I've told you before, I'm telling you again. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. And where are those strongholds?
Casting down imaginations.
Boy, people sit in church while a pastor's preaching exactly what they need to hear. And hell has built up an imagination in their mind. And that imagination is a stronghold against the message that they need to hear.
And the demons and the devils of hell stand behind that fortification and that thought in their mind and prevent them from receiving the word that would heal them. Oh, God, help me here. I'm going to tell you what, there's been a number of times I had to get a Holy Ghost posse together and chase down some ungodly thoughts and bring them into captivity under the obedience of Christ. Come on here. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's already quoted to you, bringing into captivity. Man, his wife went out, and I read about this. She went out and she sinned against him. You know what I'm talking about. Well, he divorced her. That didn't solve anything. Oh, God, help me here tonight. Didn't even help. He got the kids. Evidently, it was bad. Oh, God. Oh, God. They told Brother Beam one time, said, "Now, you know there is an excuse for divorce." He said, "Yeah, hardness of heart." Boy, it's quiet here tonight. Come on now. Well, he brooded over it. And brooded over it. And one day he snapped. And he went and got a high-powered rifle. And turned it on the children. And then on himself. And the newspaper said, they found one of the little girls. Evidently she wasn't mortally wounded. Running screaming down the street. Saying, "Why is Daddy shooting us?" Oh, God help me. I'm going to tell you what, we may not be using high-powered rifles, but there are some people in our churches that are shooting their children with bitter bullets. Because of what's going on right here. Oh, God. You know what they need? They need to let the Holy Ghost tear it down and heal them. Oh, God.
Hey, listen to me just a little while longer tonight. You know why folks get bitter? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I'm sure I don't know all the answers. But I know some of them.
And I'm going to tell you one reason folks get bitter, Brother Bailey. I'm going to tell you one reason they get bitter. It's because they get hurt.
Mean to belittle your trial here. I really don't. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here tonight. But listen to me. This is a fact. We all get hurt. And I've been hurt worse. And you maybe you have. I'm not even going to argue that point. Amen. But I'm going to tell you why folks get bitter. They get hurt and they never get healed.
I'm going to tell you something here tonight. God wants to heal it. You know what you need to do? You need to forget it! Forget it! Forget it! Forget it! Let God heal it!
You know what God did when I came to Him with all of my sins? Brother Nichols.
I'm going to tell you what He did. He washed them. He cleansed me. Listen to me. And then He forgot it. Now let me tell you something here. Just in case you think you can't do that. Just in case you think that's something only God can do. Let me tell you something. We're not talking about a case of holy amnesia. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. You need to hear what I'm going to tell you right now. We're not talking about omniscience all of a sudden forget not knowing something. Amen. God knows everything. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's not that God doesn't know. This is what it is. God chooses not to bring that up to remembrance. Oh, hallelujah. You know what you need to do when that comes to the forefront of your mind? You need to say no, and you need to choose not to remember it. Not to dwell on it, but let God heal it. Oh God. I'm quitting. I want to read you. I'm going to read you something here out of the Bible. Listen. Oh, God really. God really gave me a different angle on this. You know these verses. You could quote them better than I can. Surely. Oh, I'm so glad it starts that way. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Listen, but he was wounded. I knelt down today and felt the Holy Ghost working the melody of these words in my heart. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Oh, God. That's not where it ends. And with His stripes, we are healed. Oh. Stand with me tonight. Let me do something. Let me do something before we come pray. Let me read this verse again. These two verses, but different than probably you've ever heard it read. I'm just going to read the main words that the Holy Ghost pressed on my heart. See if you identify with any of these words. Griefs. Sorrows. Wounded. Bruised. Chastisement. You identify with those? Well, let me give you the last one, because that's not where God wants to leave you. Here's the last one. Healed. Oh, God. Now, I know we claim that for sickness, and I believe in healing for sickness, but let me tell you those words again. Hallelujah. Oh, griefs. That's up here. Sorrows. That's up here. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right, brothers and sisters. Wounded. That's in here. Bruised. Chastisement. But let me tell you where God ends it. Healed. 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 I tell you what God wants to do for some of you. He wants to heal it.
Lift your hands right now. Let's worship God.
No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace. No one can bind the wounds with the nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you.
Oh, while the saints are worshiping God,
Jesus can.
You're here tonight, and you felt a holy finger from heaven touch something in your life. I want you to step out of your pew right now. Come on up here. We're going to pray for you. God's a healer. Come on, right now. I know this may seem a little different, but I'm trying my best to follow the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, it's a grief. It's a grief. Oh, maybe it's a family situation. God, help me here. Oh, it's a grief. It's a sorrow. Oh, maybe there's a wound. Maybe there's a bruise. Oh, maybe you're feeling some chastisement. Come on. Come on, God wants to heal it. Come on. Come on, come on. Don't pray. My God. I didn't think I was preaching to the majority, but God's interested in this minority. Maybe you're one of them. Time quickly tonight.
Jesus can. No one can give you peace. You cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with a nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Hands that touch the blind and the lame, they suffered so much pain from the world that cruelly pierced.
Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with some sin in your life. Why don't you come? Let God set you free. Oh, come on. Come on. This healing's not just for the mind, but it's for the spirit. Come on. Oh, David said, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. Within me. Oh, don't be deceived tonight. Let God heal you.
Cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with the nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Hands that touch the blind and the